Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern, custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
And here we go, Digital Adele, back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifan. We're going to do this live, we're going to do it in color, and we're going to be talking about a dinosaur. You all know who that is. We're going to get into it. We're covering the Memphis Grizzlies 2024 NBA Draft. And before I do, I want to introduce my host, Matt Hanifan. Thanks for joining us, as always, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me. I'm ready to talk some Grizzlies. I'm ready to talk Zach Edey, who, if everyone who knew me knew how much I love Zach Edey coming out of the draft. I'm ready to get into it. I'm ready to get into it. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm coming off of an all-time high after watching my Miami Heat. No, I'm doing great, man. I'm excited about basketball being back. I'm actually getting some data on evaluating how we did from the previous draft. You know, Eve Missy had an excellent game for the New Orleans Pelicans. Reed Shepard's in the rotation. Stephon Castle plays basketball tonight. And if anybody's followed my content, they know that's a extremely big deal for me. Big fan of that guy. And, his two-way ability on the basketball court. So I'm actually super excited to talk basketball and to talk these Memphis Grizzlies because they played last night as well. But Zach Edey, 7'4", 300-plus pounds at the combine, looks way slimmer now. Way slimmer. But he's still a dinosaur. 7'11 wingspan, predominantly a post player, doesn't really leave the paint. And that still rings true today, even though he's slimmer. But before I get into what I think about Zach Edey, tell me your thoughts.
He only played two summer league games due to an injury. He had one game where he had 14 points and 15 rebounds, four blocks. He had a tip in to send it to overtime in the Utah summer league. The thing with him, like, we saw it summer league, the very small sample size, as I just mentioned, that we saw him in preseason. Is like, obviously he's just bigger than everyone else, but at the same time, like, I think they're utilizing him a little differently than he was in college. Like, he was utilized in college, and obviously, like, he was one of the high, I don't know what the numbers were exactly, but, you know, if you just watched him play, like, he was one of the highest usage players in the entire country. The offense really ran through him, and then the guys like, you know, Braden Smith and Fletcher Lord, like, they'd play off of him. To some extent, but like those, he was their offense. There was a reason why he was, you know, the Naismith Player of the Year, and he was, you know, touted as this guy who, you know, he would get 25 and 10 or 25 and whatever every single night. Like, it's not nobody's business. And I think they're utilizing him a little bit differently. Like, I think, like, you saw especially throughout preseason and, like, even in their first regular season game last night, even though he only played 14 minutes because he fouled out. they're utilizing him a lot as a screener, and like, not that he didn't do that at Purdue, but like, I feel like he's being involved more in like the pick and roll, and like they're trying to, you know, free up Jaw and free up some of their other guys. Like, not that, you know, not that Cam Spencer or Scottie Pippen Jr. or whomever were like great creators, but like, you play with a guy like Jaw Morant, like, you're going to get a lot of easy looks and you're going to get a lot of open opportunities. I'm around the rim. And like, there's been times where, you know, he's hanging around the dunker spot a little bit, and like, it creates it puts the back line into bind, just because it's like, okay, now you're having the centers are going to have to step up or whatnot to, you know, take away this drive from Jar, take away a drive from, like, you know, Desmond Bane or someone like that. And then you have this just giant 7'5" monster right next to the basket. You could just throw it up and he'll go up and get it and, you know, throw it down and whatnot. And so it puts defenses in a bind that way. And so he's not like, he is getting plenty of low post reps, but that's just something I've noticed a little bit. Like, I feel like he's moving a little bit more offensively. It's just kind of my point with this, like, maybe not super duper much, but like, it's noticeable to me at least. I want to see what your thoughts are there. They're still playing him in a deep drop. There were especially times last night in his first game where he was out of position and he got bit on a few fouls like that. Like, those are just things that he's going to have to work on and like over time. Like, because again, you can't play, you can't be in the key forever like you could in college. That's just, you just can't do that with the defensive 3 seconds and everything. And so that's something that he's going to have to navigate. I'm glad he got slimmer because I think there's more mobility there. But there's still definitely some kinks in his game that he has to work out. But like, once he puts it together, I think in this Grizzlies context, he's going to be like a really dangerous, really solid player with a very, very, very high floor and even a higher ceiling. But that's something that will come over time. That's not going to be something that comes right away for him.
No, you're spot on with that. And you mentioned a lot of really interesting points, especially about the, you know, him playing primarily drop coverage for defense. I mean, that's something that we pointed out during our draft evaluation, that was going to be how he had to play. And we also pointed out that he's going to get in foul trouble predominantly because he is a dinosaur. I mean, he's a lumbering 7'4", 7'11" wingspan dinosaur. And it doesn't really come from him like putting hands on people, but mainly his body positioning, spatial awareness. And you saw that a couple of times where he was out of, like you said, correct body position. They threw a pass in behind him. He turns around out of instinct to challenge, and he fouls the guy. And he ended up fouling out of the game. Now, in terms of what he can bring against teams that are going to play in the half court, he's going to be able to be effective because he's going to be able to get the ball in the paint. He's going to be able to come over that left shoulder, shoot that hook shot with that soft touch that he has. And he's going to be able to get rebounds. But what's really concerning is going to be him being able to play against this pace. And what's really noticeable is how long it takes him to get down the floor, to be honest with you. Like, that's going to come back to bite him, especially in this pace and space league. I'm not so sure how he's going to stay on the floor and not be in foul trouble all game, because he's just going to be out of position. He's not quick enough to beat and to keep up with the other bigs, you know, running the floor, especially small ball bigs. But, you know, one thing that was really interesting to me about Zach Edey in college is that at 7'11", he blocked a lot of shots, but he also got scored over quite a bit, too. Like Tyler Kolek, I have several clips of Tyler Kolek, 6'1", just scoring over the top of him. And that shouldn't happen. Like, at 7'11", that just can't happen. So I like Zach Edey's size. I don't like his lack of mobility. I don't like how it limits you defensively, only being able to play drop coverage. It makes you very predictable and very exploitable to those threes and dribble handoffs and, you know, P&Rs, all that stuff, even him getting back cut. So it's going to be one of those things that's going to be, how can he make up for those deficiencies? What value can he bring to the floor? Because in summer league, he did average quite a few points. He did average, you know, a lot of rebounds. But if he's not giving you that, what does he give you? It's a legitimate question. I don't know. Only time will tell.
It's not much. It's not much. Like, he's not an exceptional, like, something that I talked about in the pre-draft process was, I thought over time in college, he improved his processing ability. Like,
right,
you know, when he would get doubled from the strong side or even like the weak side or whatnot, like, he would make the reactive passes when he needed to, because again, he was the most dominant college player in the entire country, and so teams were going to just double him consistently. And yeah, so I think over time he just got used to it and he was really good at that. And obviously, once you see a team like UConn in the national championship game, they make you, obviously they have a guy like Donovan Clingan who, you know, 7-1, 7-2, one of the best defensive bigs in the entire country, if not the best defensive big, willing to take that challenge one-on-one. And, you know, UConn kind of shut off the water elsewhere. They're like, no, we'll have Zach Edey beat us with 50 post-ups a game. Like, that's what we want him to do. We don't want guys like Braden Smith shooting threes all the time. Or we don't want some of these other shooters shooting threes all the time. And I think that worked against Purdue in the national championship game. And so now, like, I don't know if teams are going to employ that same philosophy with him in the post. But again, you're going up against bigger, stronger, more physical athletes.
Yeah.
So they may be more willing to take him on one-on-one, even though if they might be, you know, 3, 4, 5 inches shorter than him on a given possession. Right. Again, he's a giant human being. But I think if you're physical with him, like, yeah, you can, if you make him catch it from 15 feet out instead of 10 feet out or whatever the case is, like if you're physical with them in that way, then I think you create an advantage for yourself for your defense. And so I don't think we're going to be seeing like him as a playmaker all that much unless he, you know, develops like a short role playmaking game, which I'm not sure if that's coming. So that's where I'm like a little skeptical about his playmaking, you know, potential at the NBA level, because I think it's in a different context than when it was at Purdue.
No, absolutely. And I did forget to take care of some housekeeping at the beginning of the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe. You know, I just want to give a big shout out to our latest subscriber, Big J Figs channel. Appreciate you. Thanks for subscribing. Also, our podcast, even though we're doing this live on YouTube, it's also available anywhere podcasts are found. That's Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, any of those places that you find, Pandora, any place that you find podcasts. That's the Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast. Also, we've got videos out already. College film breakdown of, Con Knuppel, as well as Cooper Flagg. So be on the lookout for those breakdowns. That's the bread and butter of the channel right now. We're growing this thing, and we're going to continue to keep that rolling. And really appreciate all the support that everybody's given. But back to what Matt was saying with Zach Edey, one thing I want to point out in his first action of the year, he only played 14 minutes because of the foul trouble. He only had 5 rebounds. But what's really, really concerning to me, but I know it's only one game, so don't anybody rip my head off about it's only one game. He only shot 20% from the free throw line. He was 1 for 5. So if you're going to predominantly play in the paint and you're not going to make your free throws, you're not going to be able to stay on the floor. Not at all. So that's something to keep in mind with Zach Edey. He's really going to have to make his free throws to be effective on the offensive end, because we already know right now he's struggling on a defensive end to keep up. But they didn't just have a dinosaur as a pick. Not just a dinosaur. They had a number 2 pick, and that was in the second round, 39 overall. That was Mr. Jalen Wells. Now, admittedly, throughout my draft prep process, I didn't get to scout him extensively like most of the other prospects. For some reason, he just slipped under my radar. I just didn't get an opportunity to. I watched all of his summer league stuff. I watched him in the NBA Combine. And I got to say, I wasn't initially very impressed. But as the summer league went on, that kid can really shoot the cover off the ball. I mean, he can really shoot, man. And so I was really impressed with his shot-making ability. His handles are okay. His ability to finish are just okay. I'm not really thrilled about his size. He's going to need to put some bulk on. Like, he's going to have to get stronger. But, man, can he shoot the ball. So what are your first impressions of Jalen Wells?
I loved, like you, I didn't scout him extensively. And so, like, my first glimpse of him was when he was in Salt Lake. For summer league, and I was very impressed. And it goes to what you're just saying, like, he can really shoot the cover off it. Like, for him, I like the way he moves. Like, I think he's not someone who's like a gazelle or glides on the court, but like, I just think he moves really, really well. Like, his body movements, like, they're always fluid and whatnot, but like,
right,
in terms of his shooting ability, like, he's got a quick release. I think he has good form, good release, like, all that stuff. He's well balanced when he shoots. You know, he's what, 6'7", 6'8". He can shoot over the top of players. Like, he's someone who can really, really shoot it up, like shoot the cover off it. His handle isn't great, but I do think there's something there. Same with the defense. Like, the defense, I think he's going to need to bulk up, I think, just to, you know, be a capable NBA defender consistently. But I do think, again, I do think there's something with his deep, like, there were just possessions where I saw, like, where, you know, he was just, you know, staying in front of guy. Like, he has good foot speed. He has good mobility, I think, or at least I think there's potential there. And then, like, I think sometimes he's out of position, but I do like his instincts. And I don't know. I was just really impressed, like, mostly the shooting because of, like, what the Memphis Grizzlies needed. And I know Grizzlies last year were a team where they had 50 different starting lineups. They had nearly 30 guys play 100 minutes. Like, they had it was the year from, you know, HE double hockey sticks. It was
right.
It was a really bad year from them just in terms of injuries with Steven Adams going down, with Desmond Bane getting banged up. John Moran only played like 9 games. Like, it was an awful year for them in terms of the injuries. And we've seen that spike up a little bit already with, like, Gigi Jackson's hurt. Vince Williams is hurt. Like, guys who they relied upon last year are now, you know, down with injuries for a period of time. And so, like, I'm not saying he's going to be needed in the rotation at some point this year, but, like, I think he's definitely someone who can flourish and who can blossom. And I think he's going to be, like, I know he's a second-round pick. I know we love our guy, you know, Pelle Larsson, but I do think he's another one of those guys who can contribute to an NBA team right away just because of the skill set that he has and the stuff that he also has to complementary skill sets just to build off of.
Right. Now, you make a great point, too, about his handle. He's functional enough to be able to get by. Because he has that three-point shooting, it's kind of a cheat code for him to get on the floor right away. He shot 41% from three in college, over 80% from the free throw line. So you know that form is pure. But what's really interesting to me is he only had a 20% usage rate in college at Washington State. So for somebody that is an NBA player to have, you know, that type of usage rate, like Tristan Newton, for example, had a higher usage rate than Jalen Wells. And I think Tristan Newton had way more people around him that could take away from that. And I it's just shows and speaks to me that he can get his shot without needing the ball. And that's a big skill for him to be able to get on a floor for a contending team like Memphis is going to be this year. So that's very interesting to me. The fact that he in college already had that ability to be able to do that. And then when you look at his, you know, statistics in terms of his points, his per 100 possessions, right? Like 25.9 points per 100 possessions. And so if you do it for a per 40 minutes, 17.2 points per game. I mean, at that usage rate, he can really score the ball, man. He can really score the ball. And his facilitation wasn't there at all in college, but he still did, you know, get at least 1.2 assists per game. Didn't turn it over.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Over only 0.7 turnovers per game. Again, that's something you need to be in a rotation as a rookie. You need to, on a contending team, you need to not be able to turn the ball over. You need to be able to take care of the ball. So I really do like that. His finishing at the rim, though, kind of worries me a little bit. Only 42%, 43% finisher in the paint for his field goal percentage. He doesn't really take many mid-range shots at all. They're all threes or layups. So it's all part of that space, pace and space. But also, again, just that finishing in the paint's going to be a little bit worrisome. So it's something to monitor there. But they also had another pick. Wells was not the only pick they had. Somebody that the entire country knew. Second round, 57 overall. Just so happens to be a point guard. The one true unicorn position left in the NBA. Everything else is positionless. Can you introduce him, Matt? Who's the mystery man that I'm referring to?
It's Cam Spencer or Dan Hurley Jr. I don't. Does Dan have a son named Dan Hurley Jr.? Cam Spencer is just an extension of Dan Hurley in basketball. That's really right. What it was when he was at UConn.
That's right.
No, I like Cam Spencer. I mean, the part that obviously is, I think, the biggest reason why he fell to 57 was, one, he's a much older prospect, and two, he's not athletic at all.
Right.
But I love watching Cam Spencer, man. I love watching Cam Spencer. I love his competitiveness. He's another guy who can just shoot the living, you know what, out of the ball. I think he's just a really smart basketball player too. Like, he's got great feel for the game. Again, like, he's not going to blow you away with athleticism. That's not his game, but I think he's savvy. I think he's a solid playmaker. I think he's just a competitive bulldog. Like, he's not going to wow you. He's not going to dunk on your head or anything like that, but he's going to get in your jersey. He's going to annoy the hell out of you for, you know, 48 minutes.
Right.
I don't think he's going to be an NBA player right away. Like, I think he's going to be a guy that's going to spend a lot of time in the G League with the Memphis Hustle. But I love watching Cam Spencer, and I loved watching him in his one season at UConn. I'm sorry if there is a Dan Hurley Jr. and I messed that up. I don't know. So my apologies to you if you exist.
If you exist.
Cam Spencer was just, I didn't mean it that way. Okay, you know what I mean. But I love watching Cam Spencer, and he was just an extension of Dan Hurley at UConn. I think he fits the grit and grind grids.
He does. He actually fits that culture really, really well. Cam Spencer's, you know, attitude in your face, won't back down. And the other thing is, too, because he's an older player, he can command a five on the floor. Like, he can command those guys. We need to be here. We need to get in our spots. Like, he's just a floor general, as you said, extension of the coach. Now, full transparency, I don't believe he was a draftable player. Contrary to all those superlatives that you laid out. He can shoot the ball.
That's fine.
He can shoot the ball. He doesn't really facilitate nearly well enough, in my opinion, for the size that he has and the lack of athleticism that he has. And it really showed up at the NBA Combine that he was out of place. Like, he couldn't really get his shots where he normally got his shots from. In college, man, like, he's in the lane, like, scoring in the lane and crap. Not happening in NBA Combine or really in Summer League. However, he's a very smart player. So in Summer League, he shot really high percentages from the field and from three. He shot in four games in the Summer League, he shot 57.9% from the field. And then he shot 52.6% from three on 4.75 attempts per game. That's really good. Now, here's the part when it comes to the actual NBA game that's concerning. He had 3.75 assists per game, one turnover per game, but the free throws. How many free throws?
He only shot two free throws.
Two free throws in four games. You're not getting to the lane. That's my point. Like, you're not getting into the lane. He can't beat his man off the dribble. You're not getting in the lane. And a lot of those assists that he got, they were just swinging the ball, like rotation assist. Like, here you go, shoot a three assist. So he's not going to really initiate and playmake. So that's my concern with him. This is why I had him undrafted, in my opinion. You know, I had Jalen Bridges over him, Keshawn Johnson over him.
Bronny James? No.
Yeah, let's get back on that conversation. How does debut go, by the way?
Yeah, well, if the Lakers drafted Cam Spencer, he would have a statue outside of Staples Center by now.
I mean, I can guarantee you he would have shot better than 20% from three. In preseason.
The odds are in his favor.
The odds are definitely in his favor.
The odds are in his favor.
But anyway, I don't want to get Paolo on Bronny. I feel so bad because I rooted for that kid in high school. I wanted him to be good in the pro in college, and he just wasn't good in college. And then all this nonsense with Rich Paul and LeBron James started, and they were like, I'm doing this for my legacy. Okay, that's cool, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with legacy. But to make us have to try to justify him being on the court and getting rotation minutes in the second quarter of an NBA game is a bridge too far for me. But yeah.
I know I brought it. I baited you into it.
You did. You triggered me. You triggered. You're like the internet trolls that just go around in my comments trying to trigger me.
Yeah, I asked if Tyler Hero was better than, you know.
That's right. That's right. And then you point to a random analytics stat. This is why he's better.
Yeah, his 3-point makes per 100%.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then you just bait me, and I get angry, and I'm like,
you blew it.
Oh man, how did we get here? But anyway, let's talk a little Miami Heat and how their rookies, their draft haul, Kel-El Ware, is going to stack up to the dinosaurs, Zach Edey. Because there was some healthy debate around the Miami Heat Nation during the draft of who should they draft? Who should they pick? Oh, man, we want Zach Edey. Oh, no, we want this guy. I was all in on Eve Misi. I mean, I was pounding the table for Eve Misi. But we ended up with Kel-El Ware. So who's going to have the better career in your opinion, Zach Edey or Kel-El Ware?
I see. I should have expected you to throw that question up to me. So far the lob has slipped through my hands out of bounds.
Oh no. Turnover. Sub.
Yeah, turnover. Good pass, bad finish. They call me Thomas Bryant. No.
oh, man. Thomas Bryant.
I'll probably say just because of... I'm trying to project careers in my head.
Right.
It's difficult. The viewers want an answer. The audience
the people
wants
demand to know.
They demand to know, and they're going to hold it against me in 6 years when I'm inevitably wrong.
100%. And you'll not get credit if you're right.
I'll probably say Ware, just because of the
is he pandering to Heat Nation?
No. after last night, I don't think I can pander to anyone related to that organization. See, this is what they do to me after one game.
He's twisted into a pretzel after one game.
So yeah, listen, man. Rewatching the film this morning, second half, big yikes.
Well, I didn't even need to rewatch it. I already could tell you what happened. One, the effort fell off. There was no effort there at all. And then two, because they weren't making any threes, shooting at 20% or 30% at the half, that Orlando Magic just sagged off of the wings and packed the paint. So there were no driving lanes. And
correct.
So then
I'm a sicko though. Yeah. So I did rewatch it to my
You mind. Are a sicko.
I'll probably say, because again, like, while I think Memphis does have a good developmental system, and I think they've done a good job developing prospects over time. Like they're not,
yeah.
Like, I mean, just recent examples, like, you know, G.G. Jackson, with, you know, guys like Vince. Like, I just think that I know those are like, that's recency bias, sure. But I think once again, it's so dependent on like if maybe not Ware figures it out, because I think he's going to figure it out, but it's more so like if he can consistently be an impactful center.
Right.
I think it's going to be easier for him to have a good longer career than Zach Edey, because one, like, I do think, yeah, Zach Edey never got hurt in college, and I'm not going to project injuries onto someone, but he is at a size to where if something does happen, it's going to be much harder for him to come back from, especially if it's in the lower body, than it would be for a guy like Khalil Ware, even though they're both, obviously, Khalil's 7 foot.
Yeah.
Edey's 7'4". And I just think there is a track record of guys like who are, you know, that size. They don't have long NBA careers for whatever reason, whether it's injuries or whatever.
Right.
And so I think for Ware, again, the system that he's in, the guys that he's, the context that he's, you know, surrounded by, not that Edey can't because he's with Ja Morant. And as I mentioned before, like him and Ja are going to work so well together. But I think over time, I would say that Ware has the better career. But again, there's so many variables, so many variables. So it's like someone can clip this and, you know,
aggregate it.
Like, yeah, look at what this dumb said, and I'd be like, yeah.
So here's my take on it. All right, so here's my take on it. I actually believe that Khalil Ware has the potential to be a much better player overall than Zach Edey. He's got better athleticism. He's got the body disposition of being a more slender athlete to be able to run the floor and get in shape to do all those things. He's got a soft touch on his three-point shot at times, so he does have that going for him. However, there's a saying about potential. And this saying I'm stealing from someone I heard on Pittsburgh Steelers Nation Radio. I believe it was Craig Wolfley. It might have been him. It might have been Del Lally. It might have been somebody. But it's potential means you haven't done anything. Not worth a darn. So all this is well and good is if Khalil Ware has a motor and corrects these behaviors of his that it kind of held him back. And it's holding him out of the lineup as we speak, because these are things he needs to fix. He needs to work on, as well as some mental lapses that all rookies have and that he's had throughout summer league and preseason and all that. Now, with that being said, Zach Edey has a higher floor. So if I was a betting man, I'm probably going to bet on Zach Edey having the better career, because you can trot him out there. Once he gets some of these body position things figured out, he's going to be able to give you rebounds. He's going to be able to stand there, get vertical. The NBA coaching staffs are so good. They turned Roy Hibbert into a viable player. If you would have saw Roy Hibbert when he first came into the league, it's unbelievable that he had as long of a career that he had. But he learned verticality just using his frame and being long. And he had a long career. So I'm going to stand on that side of it. And you know I wasn't the biggest Zach Edey fan coming out. But I think he'll learn where to get his shots. And I think he'll be able to play some positional size. So I'm going to pick Zach Edey and say he's going to have the better career. But I could also be absolutely wrong in Khalil Ware's potential, which is much higher, just all depending on him. But I'm not willing to take that bet. So aggregated,
one of us is going to be right.
That's why I did it. One of us is going to be right. One of us are going to be wrong. But either way, the audience wins in this scenario. Appreciate everybody for tuning in and watching this thing with us. We're going to try to do these lives more often and put the recordings for the podcast on the iHeartRadios and the, you know, Apple Podcasts and Spotify's and all that, anywhere you get your podcast. But with that, I'm going to, you know, take us out of here and do some, business. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget to If you want some of our merch, we got some cool hoodies and things. We're trying to build the brand so we can keep Matt Hanifan here and so we can start making this into a viable business, because like I said, I've said this before on the last podcast, we haven't made a dime yet on this channel, even though we finally have hit some benchmarks to start doing that this season, and we're going to try to make this into a real business. So if you guys want to support us, merch, donate, like, subscribe, become a channel member, any of that stuff, appreciate all of it. But you can find me at Digital Adele on all the social media platforms. You can find this channel, Hoops Profile, on YouTube, and like I said, on all those podcasting stations under Hoops Profile, Beyond the Backboard. Matt, where can they find you, follow you, and get more of your work?
At NPH underscore 824 underscore is my handle, my Twitter handle specifically. You can find me at HaHaHoops.com if you like the Miami Heat and want to check out all my content there. VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com, where I will be getting into my full Mountain West groove once college basketball season's arrived in a couple of weeks. Yes, you hear the sound. But nah, man, I'm very excited for this. I'm very excited for the season. And thank you for having me on, as always.
You're welcome. And one last thing, just to plug, you know, if for our Miami Heat audience specifically, if you want to find us, we're also contributors on Five Reasons Sports. Don't forget to find us on the Playback as well, playback.tv/5RSN. And then for the college games, you can find us on playback.tv/hoops profile. So we'll watch the college games together. Doesn't cost you a dime. Just come in, watch, hang out. We'll give our full professional analysis like we always do, and then we'll make a video afterward. But thank you for coming on again, Matt. Really appreciate you. I'll see you next time.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.